It is the seventh largest airline in the United States and the country's first airline to go into Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in over a decade. But why? Well, as it turns out, it involved some bad timing, a lot of bad luck, and maybe a little bit of politics too. And while the Chapter 11 bankruptcy could be the airline's way out, it could also bring a new twist to the story. Stay tuned. This actually isn't a news story. I first made a video about Spirit's headaches over 2 years ago in the summer of 2022, after which JetBlue had emerged as the winner in a long battle over who was going to buy Spirit. Yes, you wouldn't know it by looking at the state of the airline today, but early in 2022, Spirit was actually a really hot ticket. Back then, the two airlines fighting over it was JetBlue and Frontier, and while Frontier was the first to start talks with Spirit, JetBlue soon became the much more aggressive suitor. But a lot has changed since then. Late in October this year, Spirit announced plans to furlough around 330 pilots and to also downgrade 120 captains to first officers, which is something that airlines just almost never do. And all of this came after they had already furloughed 186 pilots in last September. Then, on the 18th of November, Spirit Airlines filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. And when its shares stopped trading on that day, they had lost 90% of their value compared to the start of 2024. So what's going on here? Well, to understand this, we need to go back to 2022 and look at the reason why Spirit and Frontier had wanted to join forces in the first place. Basically, after 9/11, several big mergers and acquisitions had taken place, who had eventually led to what we today refer to as the Big Four: American Airlines, Delta, Southwest, and United. Now, that's in alphabetical order, but as it happens, it's also the order they come in terms of passenger numbers. Between them, these companies control around 80% of the US domestic market, with Alaska Airlines in fifth place behind them. And Alaska was actually the last airline in the country to acquire another airline, Virgin America, back in 2016, which I'll come back to later. Now, that whole airline consolidation was deemed necessary after 9/11 for several different reasons, but this wasn't going to be everyone's view forever. The industry has become much more robust over time, which is a good thing, but that also means that regulators have gradually become more wary about how the market is becoming maybe a little bit too consolidated. Obviously, the more airlines there are fighting over passengers on a given route, the more choice for the traveling public, and that competition drives prices down. But if airlines merge or strike up deals to share traffic, well, then there's no need for competition and the prices can start to go up, at least in theory. That is why in recent years we have seen several government moves to stop airlines consolidating. For example, back in 2020, JetBlue and American Airlines started what they called the Northeast Alliance, a joint venture that would see them combine routes out of JFK and Boston airports. The airlines claimed that the move would benefit customers by allowing them to connect flights between the two airlines thanks to coordinated schedules and booking systems. And on top of that, they even combined some benefits in their loyalty programs. But in September of 2021, the Justice Department and six US states sued to block this joint venture based on those competitive grounds that I just mentioned. And in May of 2023, a federal judge also sided with the Justice Department and ordered the two airlines to stop their alliance within 30 days from his ruling. Now, JetBlue and American later appealed that decision unsuccessfully, but we might not have heard the end of that story yet. Anyway, whilst all of that was going on, first Frontier, then JetBlue tried to acquire Spirit. Now, a tie-up between Frontier and Spirit would have been relatively simple to explain. Both airlines are ultra-low-cost carriers with very similar operating models, and their networks were also quite similar, particularly around Florida. On top of that, both of them also had an all-Airbus A320 family fleet, would therefore be quite easy to combine. And by the way, these similarities weren't entirely coincidental. Frontier Airlines is a subsidiary of Indigo Partners, and that same company was a major investor in Spirit back in the mid-2000s when it transitioned into becoming a low-cost carrier. Frontier then followed a very similar evolution, so the shared DNA between those two companies actually isn't very surprising. Anyway, a merger between Spirit and Frontier would have beaten Alaska Airlines as the fifth largest airline in the country. But then JetBlue suddenly entered into the picture from basically nowhere with its own bid for Spirit, which would have also created the fifth biggest airline in the US. Now, Frontier and Spirit wanted to join forces because this would have made them into a powerful ultra-low-cost carrier entity, something that would really have been able to compete with the likes of Southwest Airlines, for example. But the purpose of JetBlue's bid for Spirit was, well, let's say a little bit different. Because JetBlue was mostly interested in Spirit's route network and its airport slots at key airports around the country. And crucially, JetBlue is a leisure carrier, not a low-cost or ultra-low-cost carrier. So in that case, JetBlue would have not operated Spirit as a separate entity. Instead, Spirit fleet would have just been reconfigured into JetBlue's specifications with fewer seats and in a less dense cabin. And that was something that the US Justice Department really didn't like. The DOJ again argued that the JetBlue-Spirit merger would hurt competition because some shared routes between the two carriers would be merged, ULCC ticket prices would turn into leisure prices, and the overall number of available seats would definitely go down. And that argument made quite a lot of sense, right? Well, the DOJ thought so. So a federal judge in January of 2024 blocked JetBlue's $3.8 billion deal to buy Spirit. Both airlines obviously initially protested, but they then gave up their efforts to appeal only a few months later. Now, to be clear, the objection of the Department of Justice over JetBlue's acquisition of Spirit didn't come as a surprise to basically anyone. In fact, Spirit's agreement to the JetBlue acquisition actually even included a compensation if the acquisition was blocked because of regulatory pressure. And when JetBlue and Frontier were fighting over Spirit back in 2022, Spirit's own management stated that JetBlue's acquisition was indeed more likely to hit regulatory hurdles. But the problem was that blocking the JetBlue-Spirit tie-up on competition grounds made sense only if we assume that Spirit could continue to operate just fine without it. And as it turns out, some other developments who were happening in parallel with all of this were making that assumption impossible. And speaking of impossible, have you seen this awesome little thing right here? This is the hover pen from Novium, today's sponsor. And Novium creates these pens with a level of care and ingenuity that reminds me of some of the finest early aerospace projects. So if you're looking for a really unique holiday gift, trust me, this is the one. Now, I'm a real sucker for cool designs like this, so I just had to have one myself. And this one, the Hover Pen Interstellar, was my personal favorite. It features a precise 23.5 degree tilt as a homage to the Earth's actual tilt, and I think it really looks out of this world, doesn't it? Now, it comes in several different colors, but the premium model can be ordered with an 18 karat gold-plated finish, and even with a real meteorite shard embedded into it. I don't know if you can see it here. Super cool. The Interstellar was named one of the best inventions of 2022 by Times Magazine, and it doesn't surprise me at all. So if you're interested in elevating your writing game or maybe finding that perfect gift for a loved one, well then use the links here below or these QR codes together with the code MENTOR. Again, that will give you 10% off on all hover pens as well as free shipping to most countries. Thank you, Novium. Now, where were we? Ah, yeah. When the JetBlue-Spirit merger was blocked in January of 2024, the judge actually wrote in his closing, "Spirit is a small airline, but there are those who love it. To those dedicated customers of Spirit, this one's for you." Why? Because the Clayton Act, a 109-year-old statute, requires this result. A statute that continues to deliver for the American people. So The judge referred to the Clayton Act because this was an antitrust law designed to stop things like monopolies, cartels, and other such entities that could hurt competition. But it would soon turn out that this closing statement didn't age very well. Because just hours after the ruling, analysts were already raising the alarm about Spirit's future, and the investors seemed to agree because the airline's stock price immediately plummeted. And that was despite the fact that Spirit's shares had already lost a lot of their value after JetBlue had agreed to buy it. Actually, behind closed doors, JetBlue's management was relieved that the deal had fallen through. So, why did this happen, and why couldn't Spirit just continue operating as an ultra-low-cost carrier like it had done for nearly two decades at this point? Well, it turns out that there are about two main reasons for this. First came the problems that the company was having with their Pratt & Whitney geared turbofan engines, who required lengthy, unscheduled inspections. It had been found that impurities in powdered metal alloys used to manufacture some of the engine's high-pressure compressor discs could cause these engines to suffer early fatigue issues if they weren't dealt with properly. This was, and still is, a huge problem that could affect as many as 1,200 Airbus A320neo engines worldwide. And the big problem here is that each engine will need between 60 and 300 days to fix it, which is, of course, an insane amount of time. A disruption like that will keep a lot of engine maintenance and repair shops very busy, and loads of jets grounded for months. And this actually has a knock-on effect on overall aircraft maintenance capacity worldwide, something that I will cover in a later video. But as it turns out, Spirit were particularly exposed to this engine problem, with dozens of their aircraft having to be grounded. And at the same time, they also had a second issue, which is overcapacity. The problem here is that as Spirit grew during the previous years, they added loads of flights to their existing network, particularly around their base in Florida. But they were doing that while other airlines were also doing the exact same thing on the same routes. And as I said before, Spirit is an ultra-low-cost carrier, and while that has been a profitable working model for a very long time, it can also be a little bit inflexible. The keys to making low-cost carrier models work is to keep the planes in the air for as long as possible, as full of passengers as possible, and ideally with a fleet of jets that are as efficient as possible. So Spirit now found themselves with a fleet of brand new but grounded jets without engines, and functional but older and less efficient jets flying with too few passengers on board in a very competitive market. And even when they managed to fill those aircraft up, the price of each seat was sold for something that wasn't as high as the airline actually needed it to be, since their price was one of their only competitive advantages. And by the way, if this sounds a little bit familiar to you, then you might just be remembering a recent video that I made about Southwest Airlines. So thank you for being a regular viewer. You see, Southwest has a similar problem, not because of faulty engines, but because of each of its new 737 MAXes are a little bit bigger than they actually want them to be. For many years, Southwest network has been built around a large fleet of 737-700s, which have fewer seats than its newer 737 MAX 8s have. And the smaller MAX 7s that Southwest actually wanted isn't yet certified. So Southwest is having to figure out how to keep being profitable while flying around with a lot of empty seats. Another problem that both Spirit and Southwest are sharing is that after the pandemic, demand for bare fare flights in the United States seems to be dropping rapidly. Travel habits do change over time, and some analysts are now quickly coming to the conclusion that the days of the low-cost carriers are coming to an end. But personally, I am a little bit skeptical of that. I think that the problems with the MAX for Southwest and the Airbus A320neo engines for Spirit are really skewing the picture that we're seeing right now, but I guess we'll find that out. It is true though that other airlines with both short, medium and long-haul operations are less financially exposed to the kind of overcapacity problems that particularly affect airlines like Spirit, Southwest and Frontier. That's why all three of these airlines have recently announced changes to their operations, like the introduction of premium fares, who basically moved them away from the traditional low-cost carrier or ultra-low-cost carrier model. So where does Spirit go from here then? What does Chapter 11 bankruptcy actually mean for them and their future? Well, here is where I need to talk a little bit about what a Chapter 11 bankruptcy really is and what it isn't. When I made a video about Norwegian Airlines and their bankruptcy recently, some people in the comments got a little bit upset with my use of the term bankruptcy. So, just to be clear, in English at least, bankruptcy is not the same as liquidation. Liquidation is what will be described in the US as a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and as its name suggests, it such a bankruptcy, the company stops conducting all business and its assets are sold off to pay its debts. If anything is left after those debts are paid in full, well then the company's owners can keep that money. But Chapter 11 is not like that. Chapter 7 and 11 are specific terms to the United States, but other countries have very similar laws and conditions for bankruptcy. For example, Norwegian was primarily based in Ireland, so it restructured under the examinership process, which is very similar to Chapter 11 bankruptcy protections in the US. In the United States, the first form of what we today call Chapter 11 appeared in the 1800s, and in the second half of the 19th century, it was a vital part in keeping US railroad infrastructure going. You see, vital infrastructure companies like railroads or much later airlines are perfect examples of companies where these type of laws makes perfect sense. I'm not going to analyze it here because I'm not a lawyer. Maybe this is something for Legal Eagle, which is a great channel by the way. But basically, the idea behind Chapter 11 is to hold back a company's creditors to keep them from interfering, or at least from interfering too much, while the organization is trying to get back on its feet. Even though this process is supposed to keep creditors at bay, in practice, creditors often want Chapter 11 to happen because the process tends to remove existing uncertainties about the viability of the company. Obviously, this all depends on the circumstances and those can vary a lot between different companies, but there are often discussions and agreements in place before a Chapter 11 process is officially in place, which is worth remembering. Anyway, during this process, the recovery of the business is overseen by a court which will examine it and hopefully approve a viable recovery plan, which the company and its creditors all agree on, or even have agreed on before. In other words, Chapter 11 is a nice bit of state intervention through the court system without any real use of state funds, designed to help avoid the complete collapse of vitally important companies, among other things. And that explains why Chapter 11 is actually very familiar to airlines in the US. Since the days of deregulation in the late 1970s, pretty much all airlines in the United States have gone through Chapter 11 at least once, and having gone through it twice isn't particularly rare either. Aside from some airlines that emerged recently, there's only one US airline that have never gone through Chapter 11, and that's Southwest Airlines. Southwest was actually profitable from its launch in the early 1970s all the way up until 2019, a 47-year streak that was only broken by the pandemic. But the point that I want to make here is that in the airline world at least, Chapter 11 bankruptcy actually often leads to recovery. While the airline goes through the process, they normally continue to operate normally, although understandably, some passengers, especially those booking months ahead of traveling, might prefer booking with someone else. And that's why airlines prefer to get through this process as fast as possible. Now, sometimes the company doesn't survive in its original form and ends up getting bought, rebranded, or absorbed into another airline. That's, for example, what happened with TWA when it became part of American Airlines. And sometimes, these discussions and agreements before Chapter 11 can be really formal. So much so that the process is done almost preemptively, meaning before any real financial trouble properly hits the airline. An example of that was when American Airlines filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection back in November of 2011. What made that notable and a little bit weird was that less than 3 months earlier, American had placed what was at the time the world's single largest aircraft order of 460 single-aisle jets split between Airbus and Boeing. An order that actually launched the 737 MAX, by the way. Now that procedure was mainly aimed at dealing with labor costs and rising fuel prices, and there is quite a bit more background to it. But the point is that American had enough cash to keep operating even without Chapter 11 in place. So, what about Spirit then? Are they in genuine trouble, or is this a preemptive Chapter 11 filing? Well, Spirit does seem to have key debts that it needs to pay in the coming months. But the good news is that its Chapter 11 filing came after a long and constructive set of talks with many of their key creditors. And that suggests that the airline has a plan in place, which I think a judge will probably approve to see it survive. But remember that I promised a twist at the start of the video? Well, in my first video on Spirit over 2 years ago, I said that the most likely winner of the JetBlue-Spirit merger was Frontier. Because with Spirit gone as an ultra-low-cost carrier, Frontier would basically have that market cornered. Now, Frontier has had to adjust to the same challenges as Spirit, but its shares have done much better than Spirit's, and they decided to shift over to a more premium passenger market much earlier than both Spirit and Southwest did. But the thing is, at one point during the recent weeks, Spirit actually restarted merger talks with Frontier, presumably at much lower prices than those discussed back in 2022. Now, officially, those talks then ended without leading to anything definitive, but is that really the end, you think? You see, when those merger talks were revived in October, the story was that a deal between the two companies would likely happen as part of Spirit's restructuring of its debts and some other liabilities in bankruptcy. And that is exactly what Chapter 11 bankruptcy is for. So maybe this is just a planned strategy designed to clear the way for a final Frontier takeover. But even if such a deal is still on the cards, do you think it would pass government regulators? Well, as it turns out, Biden's outgoing government is re-examining the competitive nature of the country's airline market, given the rapid changes in the industry over the last couple of years. And of course, the country's new administration is very likely to change its general attitude towards all type of mergers. So, a Frontier Spirit get-together and even that JetBlue American Northeast Alliance might still have some life in them. I think so. But the important thing here is, what do you guys think? What airline can you think of that might be looking for new suitors today or soon? Let me know in the comments below. Thank you so much for watching, and I hope that I've earned a subscription from you. Or if you want to be truly awesome and support the work that I'm doing, then join my fantastic group of Patreons using patreon.com/mentorpilot. It's now possible to gift a Patreon membership as well, so if you know someone who likes my channel and want to join my next Patreon hangout, then that could be an awesome gift. Watch these videos next and have an absolutely fantastic day. Bye-bye.